Meek, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. How are you doing?
Very well, Andrew. Thank you. I can see that you are wearing a sweater. The British summer is already over.
Is over. I was just talking to a friend in Dubai who had moved from London, and I said, it's already pretty chilly and cloudy, and I'm already missing the summer, which actually was a really particularly nice summer. But how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Enjoying the late Californian summer.
Okay, good, good. Okay, let's kind of dive right in. Obviously PC just came out, just to timestamp. It's kind of Friday, 2 p.m. London time. But what kind of stood out over the last week? What were big takeaways? Are you surprised by any of the market reactions?
The big surprise is the PC data, where we basically got stronger than expected spending, and the consensus was strong. It was 50 basis point, but the revision in the data shows that inflation is not as strong as people feared, as the FOMC hawks feared. So let me explain a little bit. We got a hint that consumption was going to be revised up with the enormous revision in the GDP yesterday that was based on personal consumption growth revised to 2.5% from 1.7%. This sounds very nerdy, but this actually these small
This is a big
percentages are
number.
big numbers because trend growth was, about 2%. And then today, we got a higher consumption path. So consumption was 6.6% month on month instead of 0.5% expected. The personal savings rate was revised, the whole series was revised up, but it fell. And so what drove the increase in consumption is a decrease in the savings rate. And it's important because it means that the growth we are seeing this quarter, the Atlanta Fed now cast is 3.3%. It's not just corporate investment, it's consumer spending. So it's a broad-based pickup in growth. And then
So it
we
always goes back to the of questions in the past, which is people are reducing their savings rate and they're spending more, and don't look at that as a negative. That actually most likely means that people are pretty secure in their jobs and in their kind of revenue, their income versus expenses to be able to increase that. So it's probably a good sign for the economy.
100%. I mean, with just this little nuance, secure or cash trapped, because we have really a two-speed economy. The people at the top of the income distribution are doing well, and they are probably spending the past equity rally. But the people at the bottom of the distribution, they are really struggling. So it could be that they are spending less because they are spending more of their income because, once they have covered food, housing, health, transportation, there is not much left for savings. So we probably have both. But the result is the economy is stronger than I thought, and largely because of the decrease in the savings rate. In fact, if you look at household income, it's actually slowing, which is consistent with the slowdown in employment that we've seen. So, but for whatever reason, growth is strong, and yet inflation is not accelerating. So, core PCE was in line with expectations, but last month was revised down, and there is a sub-index of PCEs that the Fed is very focused on. They all talk about it, Powell, Waller, even Beth Hammack, so she's the president of the Cleveland Fed. They just published a big study of that index, which is called the core PC, the market-based PCE index. And market-based means you are stripping out all the prices you cannot observe directly, like portfolio management fees, a big driver of core PCE. It's not observed directly. It's computed based on a formula, and it implies that whenever the stock market goes up, core PCE goes up. So the market-based index strips this out. And once you do that, you see that the index has been at 15 basis points for the past 2 months, and year on year, 2.6% for the past 3 months. And you know, the Fed president this week, they've all been talking. And one of the things they've been talking about is their estimate of the impact of the tariff, about 40 to 50 basis points. So if you take this out of market-based core PC, it means we are at target. So the revision of the data show that the fears of the hawks were misplaced. And so, but there is another interesting aspect, which is the market consequences. So we have strong growth with low inflation. This is very positive for equities.
Goldilocks.
Exactly, exactly. We are back to
Yeah, I was
Goldilocks.
kind of surprised, like, why are equities not up more? Because this looks, I guess there's something else going in the equity market, which is with all these crazy announcements every day between NVIDIA and OpenAI and Oracle, like, are people starting to think everything's a bit frothy? So I think that could be it. Maybe that's why NASDAQ. And then also generally, tech stocks have been kind of outperforming when growth is strong and inflation is fairly high. And in this case, it could be other parts of the market when growth is good, is okay and good, and inflation is pretty low. There's other parts, I guess, probably more interest rate sensitive parts of the market that would be performing better. Well, one question I had is, I saw the breakdown you put on Bloomberg. So I guess surprisingly, in August, the goods is actually down 11 basis points, the goods component. And then housing looks like it is trending higher. I don't know, 0.36. That seems fairly high.
So a couple of points. The goods, it could be the impact of it could be the impact of used car. It's unclear. But if you look at the year-on-year trend in goods, it's flattening out. So you had a big acceleration in goods inflation after the tariff announcement, but now it's flattening out. And on housing, I don't believe the trend, the acceleration will continue, because if you look at rental vacancies, the vacancy rates, they are going up. And also, if you look at market rent indices, so indices that measure the rents of properties on the market, and as you know, those get transmitted very slowly to the price index. Inflation is slowing. It's actually slowing quite strongly.
So like Zillow rents or something like that.
Yeah, and you know, it's consistent with two things. I mean, in all fairness to Governor Myron, one point he made about lower immigration, meaning lower demand for a fixed stock of housing. I mean, the logic is hard to dispute. So there could be some of that. And also, maybe we have this two speed economy that the people at the bottom of the income distribution are really struggling. to get into properties that tend to be on the expensive side. So I, you know, based on these two pieces of data, slowing market rent inflation, and you read it in the newspaper, actually. I mean, obviously there are hot spots like a place like New York where affordability has always been an issue, Miami. But in the rest of the country, you read stories about a soft real estate market.
Yeah, Texas,
So,
I think
yeah,
apparently.
so I think it will eventually get transmitted to the price index. So, in my view, these morning releases are, you know, on the side of the FOMC doves. So, it's,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, why do you think fixed income hasn't rallied more today? I actually was just putting that in it. Fixed income rallied more, the dollar not sold off more. Is it because those growth numbers are quite positive, I guess?
Yeah, and it will take time for people to digest. Also, there is a bit of a controversy, I think, around how you interpret the higher growth. You have, for instance, the hawks like President St. Louis Fed President Moussalem. He thinks higher growth is inflationary. I disagree because we have higher growth but slower employment growth. So it means what we are seeing is a productivity spurt, which makes sense, right? Because businesses, just like during the pandemic, but to a lesser extent, are facing reduced availability of labor. So they found a way of raising productivity just like they did during the pandemic. So, and we have slowing wage growth. So we have a pickup in productivity that clearly is not benefiting workers since wage growth is slowing, but instead is going to benefit businesses, profit margin. So allow businesses to keep prices, I mean, not to increase inflation and to absorb, you know, the pass-through from the tariff through their margins. So I suspect the market is still very much in the mood that higher growth means higher inflation. But you know, we have lots of FOMC speakers. One of them already made that point about higher growth means higher productivity. I think as they look at the data, there more of them are going to make this point, and the
Right.
market is going to turn around.
Have you told them your like underlying kind of controversial idea that actually we are just, yeah, what is it again? You could explain to everybody.
Well, so that pattern, strong growth, low inflation, very much consistent with the very flat Phillips curve we had before the pandemic, which, as two Fed economists explained in a paper that, in my view, has not gotten the attention it deserves, but they think it reflects the low bargaining power of workers. So whenever there is a shock in growth, it benefits the capitalist, if you will. So wage growth remains flat, and what goes up is the capitalist profit. So we have an increase in growth without an increase in inflation, the flat Phillips curve. And that's what I wrote in my
Yeah,
weekly.
I think it makes a lot of sense. Okay, cool. Awesome. So the and for this upcoming week, what are you thinking? Or
So,
what should our clients be looking out for?
we have more Fed speakers, and so far the pattern has been very predictable. The doves like Daly highlighting the fact that inflation, the pass-through from the tariff, has been less than they expected, and talking about the risk to the labor market. So we're going to see more of that this week. I mean, we'll have Waller, of course. We'll have Logan, who just advocated for a change in the operational target of the Fed, you know, from the Fed funds rate to the repo rate, which makes a lot of sense. So I'm looking for a change in the communications of the FOMC towards a lower inflation risk. In terms of data, we have the NFP, assuming the government shutdown does not delay the release of the data. So on this one,
And when will we know about that one? It's the end of the month,
so
or
the shutdown, the proof of the pudding is going to be in the eating. The fiscal year ends on the 30th, which is Tuesday. My expectation is that, as usual, we will get, a very last minute agreement, or maybe the government will get shut down, but I expect it will get resolved quickly because historically the party that has shut down the government, which
Right, I
up to
remember.
has been the Republican, has been penalized in the polls. So I think there is a lot of grandstanding, theatrics, which is just the usual ritual. But my expectation is that it all gets resolved and we do get the NFP, which really is going to be the most important data of the week. So the expectations are, I think, for 50,000 50,000
Yep.
headline, and no increase in unemployment, and no increase in wage growth, which is kind of fits with my view. I mean, the risk is that we could see an increase in unemployment, but it's a low risk at this point given what's happening with growth. But if we saw a big increase in unemployment, say 20 basis point, I think the Fed could react. I mean, definitely the 25 basis point in October would be on. They could even go 50 because a fast increase in unemployment historically has been a very reliable sign of recession. But again, what is the risk of that with the data we got this week? It's quite low. So
Yeah.
I'm quite
What
happy with consensus.
about the idea that inflation is rising because productivity is significantly increasing? Is that,
So
yeah.
productivity tends to decrease inflation because it means that basically, given the amount of money you pay your workers, you spend on your wages, you can produce more staff. So the wage cost per unit of output, if you will, go down. So businesses have two choices. They can hire either pocket the increased productivity, so
Yeah.
or they can lower prices. So in practice,
Be more
businesses,
competitive. Yeah.
yeah, rarely lower prices. They increase less than they would otherwise. So the discussion is going to be really about whether the growth increases puts pressure on the economy, whether people demand more stuff or whether it translates into an increase in productivity. And I don't see the people buying more stuff because, the savings rate is already quite low. And so the big increase in consumption we've seen last month, it's probably not going to be replicated.
Fun, fun. Okay. Okay, awesome. Thank you very much. Thanks as always. Wishing you it doesn't even feel like Friday. I was saying it kind of feels like Thursday. Maybe with everything going on, it's a little hectic. Yeah, so wish everyone who's gonna listen to this a lovely weekend, all the luck in the world. Trading for investing next week, and yeah, all the best. And all the best to you, Dominic.
Thank you, Andrew. Likewise, and good luck, everybody.
Good luck. Thanks. Bye.